This morning, I want to talk to you about fill it up. Fill it up. Hallelujah. Fill me up, Lord. Say, fill me up.
Fill me up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at a passage this morning out of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we want you to fill us up. We want you to fill us up, Lord. Your word commanded us. You didn't suggest it. You commanded it. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if there's any of us, Lord, here today that we're half empty, we're running on empty, we're running low, Lord, we need to come and be filled up. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to move into this place this morning and fill up your church. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to come in here and fill us up with the Holy Spirit. To come in here and fill us up with the Holy Ghost. Fill us up to overflowing in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us up. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us up. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our tanks to their overflowing. And we ask it and we pray it right now in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many of you, I asked a question the other day about something a long time ago, and I think I was the only one in the room that remembered it. We'll try this one. How many of y'all remember self-serve gas stations? Okay. Got a lot more of you for that. I used to work at one. My dad owned a gas station when I was in high school in Mobile, Alabama. My dad was a mechanic. He could fix anything, and he would often be working on the cars. We had a couple of bays in the garage area at the gas station, and he would be in there with the hood up, the car raised up or whatever, but he was working on those cars. He was repairing cars, and I was pumping gas. And car would drive up, and you'd hear a ding, ding, and I'd get my rag and wipe the oil off my hands, you know, and wipe the sweat off my face and walk out there and walk up to the window of the car and say, yes, sir, can I help you? Fill her up. Of course, back in those days, gas was 70 cents a gallon, I think, something like that. Fill her up wasn't that big a deal. It wasn't a major investment like it is today. Fill her up. So we'd fill them up. A little while later, ding, ding, you'd go back out there and lady be in the car and say, yes, ma'am, can I help you today? Fill it up. Fill it up. And you like to hear that, fill it up. And how many of you remember saying that? Fill it up. Fill it up. Fill it up. Well, I want you to see this morning, I want you to see a pump that God's got right here that's full of the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to come up to this pump and pull up beside it, and he wants you to look up at him this morning and say, fill me up. Fill it up, God. Fill it up. Fill it up with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and just come and get your tank filled with the Holy Spirit to fill it up. And that's something you have to prepare yourself for. You can't baptize yourself in the Holy Spirit. That's a work of God. Amen. You can't seal yourself with the Holy Spirit. That's something God does when you're born again and you're saved. You can't fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. God will do that work, but you have to open yourself up to it. Before God can fill us up, he has to empty us out. I said, before God can fill us up, he has to empty us out. See, that's the hard part. That's the part we don't like. We like the fill it up part. Oh God, fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill her up. Pour out your Holy Spirit. And he's like, well, yeah, but I want to make some room in there before I go to filling you up. Amen. I want to do a little cleaning. I mean, it's hard for me to fill you up when you're already full. And how many of you have got more junk at your house than you need? Amen. I bet most of you, like me, you can't hardly open the glove compartment in your car. Huh? Stuff falls out. It's so full of stuff. You can't even, you know, you open a closet and you're slowly opening it because stuff's, you know, falling out. Every drawer in your house is overflowing with junk. This is where we keep our junk. That's what a glove compartment is for? It's for your junk. Most of the drawers in your house are for your junk. It's stuff that ain't quite ready to throw away. You know, it hadn't quite reached that throwaway point. It's in between somewhere. You're never going to use it again. You're never going to touch it again, but you won't throw it away. So you stick it in a drawer, you stick it in the glove compartment, you stick it in a closet, and you're overflowing, and you can't hardly put anything else in it. God's looking at you this morning saying, you know, I'm seeing a lot of stuff, and I need to get rid of some of it. And I need to come clean you out so that I can fill you up with more of God. Amen? But we don't want to let go of things, right? So that's why people go rent storage buildings. They got a house and they fill their house up and they got to go rent something else and put more stuff in that. Because we just got so much stuff. Say, I got a lot of stuff. We all do. But we got a lot of stuff in here. Amen? Amen. And God wants to come and start cleaning us out. Listen to this verse. The Bible says we have a treasure in these earthen vessels. Did you hear that? You have a treasure. God wants to put a treasure in you. He wants to fill you up with the good things of God. He wants to fill you up with blessings. He wants to fill you up with the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you up with joy. He wants to fill you up with wisdom. He wants to fill you up with love. He wants to fill you up with power. And when God starts filling you up, you can say, I have a treasure in this earthen vessel. We're vessels, right? Some of us are tall, slender vases. Or vase. How many of you say vase? Do we have any of those kind of people in here? Brother Glenn, it's not a vase, it's a vase. No, we don't. It's a vase. Tall. Some of us are tall, slender vases. Some of us are pans. Some of us are pots. Yeah, we're all different kinds of vessels, but it doesn't matter what kind of vessel we are or how different a shape we are. God has something for all of us that he wants to fill us up in this house we live in, that in our spirit man to be filled. This verse, by the way, says it's a continuous action verb in the Greek. If you read this in the Greek, it says being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you get that? Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a verse in Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And you all know this verse. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But now I want you to go to Acts chapter 4. This is just a few days later. Same people. Look at Acts chapter 4. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now I want you to see something. In Acts chapter 2, they were what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. A couple of chapters later, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Bible says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever been able to just go fill your car up with gas one time? See, you have to continuously do it, don't you? It's kind of a pain to have to stop and do it, but you have to, you know, you're driving your car and you hear that ding and you look down and you're low on gas and you know that you got to do something in the near future. Pretty quick. You can't just keep going. You got to stop at the pump and you got to gas up. You got to fill up and you have to keep doing it. Folks, the Holy Spirit works the same way. Some of you are like, man, 30 years ago I had an experience with God that was just awesome. God filled me up and I was filled with the Holy Spirit and you hadn't been back to the pump in 30 years. We're bad to talk about something that happened a long time ago. Oh, I had an experience with God. I had this awesome time with God. I had this epiphany with God. But it's always, you know, what was? What's happening today? What's happening right now? God wants you to come be filled with the Holy Spirit, continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit, and keep that action going. My grandchildren love chocolate milk. I mean, they love chocolate milk. In fact, if it's chocolate, they like it. And little Alex, when he was much younger, wanted some chocolate milk. And so we had some of the chocolate syrup, so I poured the milk in and then I added the chocolate syrup. Now y'all know when you have the glass of milk and you add the chocolate syrup does what? It just goes straight to the bottom. So he looked at the glass and he said, Grandpa, that's not chocolate milk. It just still looked like milk. But the syrup was in it. And I gave him a spoon and I said, stir it. Stir it. And he started stirring it and it magically turned chocolate. You know, he thought, oh, that now I got chocolate milk. Church, you're that glass of milk. And God adds the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is now in the glass. The Holy Spirit is in you. But what does the Bible say? Stir up the gift of God that is in you. Fill yourself. It's not that the Holy Spirit is not in you. You're not going back and getting something you don't have. You have the Holy Spirit. The chocolate syrup is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And for some of you, the chocolate is like the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, they're real close, you know. We like chocolates. Oh, this is, you eat a piece of chocolate and you're like, oh, this is the Holy Spirit. But you got the chocolate, but you got to stir it up. And when you stir it up, it fills you up. It fills up. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you get full. This is what stir up the gift of God. Day after day after day of going to your job and going to work and hearing the things of the world and fighting the things you fight and trying to pay your bills and trying to make ends meet and trying to get along with family and trying to take care of your kids and trying to teach the things you need to teach and trying to learn the things you need to learn and just doing the stuff of life. You use a lot that is in you and you start to run low after a while. You're ministering to people, you're helping people, you're counseling people, you're giving advice to people, and you start to kind of run low. Years ago, many years ago, and I was in my 20s and I was in the ministry, and I remember we had an evangelist come and he was preaching and it moved me in my heart. He gave an altar call and I was the first one at the altar. I mean, I felt like that night I needed to touch God. So the pastor got up and led the way. I mean, I got on that altar and got on my face before God. And I've shared this before, but it's been a while. But while I was there on my face before the Lord spoke something to my heart. And he said, Glenn, you've been so busy doing the work of the Lord that you've forgotten the Lord of the work. You've been so busy doing the work of the Lord, you have forgotten the Lord of the work. And I knew instantly what the Lord meant. It wasn't that I wasn't reading my Bible. I read my Bible every day. It wasn't that I wasn't listening to good music. I wasn't building myself. I was, you know, but I was doing it as a pastor. I was doing it to teach. I was doing it to share. I was getting sermons together. I wasn't doing it for me. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't building me up. And I realized that you have to take care of yourself. You got to take care of your body. You got to take care of your spiritual man. And you've got to fill him up. And you start using energy in the course of life and you start running low. What does it mean To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, look at what he compares it to. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Where another version says, we're in excess. That means excessively using it. Using it out of control. Using it, abusing it. Don't be drunk with wine or alcohol. Don't abuse it. Don't overuse it. Don't use it wrongly, he's saying. Don't be drunk with wine. And here's why. Because the alcohol is controlling you. When you abuse it and it gets control of you, the alcohol is in control. Amen? That's what happens when people get drunk. That's what happens when people are intoxicated. The alcohol is in control. You ever watched those police shows, cops or different ones? You see these people get out of the car and the cop stops them, or they go to their house and these people are 10 sheets into the wind. I mean, they are so, man, and they are saying all kinds of dumb things. And, you know, years and years ago, I got a call one night from a guy that was in trouble, needed me to come pray with him and see him. And I knew he was drunk. I could tell talking to him on the phone. Brother Glenn, I need you. I need you. My life's, you know. I called Brother Bob Hutto that night. And I said, Bob, are you to where you could go with me to pray for this man? And we got over there, and you're talking about drunk. This guy was drunk. And so we're trying to minister to him and talk to him. And Bob was trying to teach him about dying in Christ, about being dead in Christ. And he said, it's like a dead man laying on the floor. And the guy went, where? And I lost it. He kept looking for that dead man on the floor. And I finally said, Bob, I think we're wasting our time. I think we just need to pray for him and go home. I don't think we're going to get through. And when we walked out, he was still going, you know, looking for the dead man on the floor. That's the alcohol in control. But listen to what he says. Don't fill yourself up with alcohol and let it be in control, but, oh glory, but fill yourself up with the wine of the Spirit and let it take control and be under, not under the influence of the alcohol, but be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. I remember when I was a kid seeing people in church and they'd say they're drunk with the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. I remember them being, they're drunk on the Holy Spirit. You'd see they'd be staggering around under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God control you. Let the Spirit of God fill you up. Let the Spirit of God take over. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he's saying. Don't be intoxicated by the world, but be intoxicated by God. Be full of the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and just get filled up to your overflowing. Hallelujah. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, things begin to change in your life. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, the way you talk changes. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, the way you walk changes. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, the way you think changes. Everything starts to change. The Bible says, be led by the Holy Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. You want to overcome temptation? You want to deal with the things of the world that come at you? Walk in the Spirit or be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the best guard you have against the devil. The best ammunition you have is being full of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy, just fill yourself up with God. Just fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. Fill yourself up with His joy. Fill yourself up with His wisdom. Fill yourself up with His power. Fill yourself up with His glory. Fill yourself up with the power of God, and that will be your greatest thing in the world when you're full of the Holy Spirit and He fills your cup to overflowing. Amen? And people look at you and say, what's the matter with you? Say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you drunk? No, I'm not drunk. Listen, the Bible says that that verse we read in Acts 2:4, and Peter, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter went out, and what did he say? These men are not drunk as ye suppose. Huh? These men are not drunk like you think. Y'all are thinking these men are intoxicated. Y'all are thinking these men are drunk. They're not drunk like you think, but they're drunk. But they're drunk on something else. And they're full of something else. And they're intoxicated with something else. And they're influenced by something else. All of heaven has come down and filled them with the glory of God. That's what it is. Oh, glory. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Fill me up, God. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it up. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at the very next verse after chapter 5 and verse 18. I want to look at the next verse. What happens, and look how he puts these together, because we're fixing to do this. Look how he puts these together. Right after being filled with the Holy Spirit, what does it say? Singing psalms and hymns and singing in the Spirit among yourselves and making music to the Lord with your hearts. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, worship is going to come out of you. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, your heart's going to overflow. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to sing songs. You're going to worship. You're going to sing in the Spirit. Something's going to flow out of you because you can't hold it in anymore. You can't contain it anymore. You know, folks, it's okay to let the glory of God loose. It's okay to let the power of God loose. It's okay to be free in the Spirit. It's okay to let God loose. Amen? Hallelujah. We try to keep God in a nice little box, you know. We got all these different boxes, different religions and different denominations. They've all got a box. And some boxes are bigger than others. Some are smaller than others. And some of them are prettier than others. And some of them are decorated. And this is the box we put God in. And this is as big as God can get because we've got him in a box. And he can get this big or he can get this big. But we've got him in a box. Church, I say we let God out of the box and let God be God and quit trying to tell God what he can be and what he can't be. Let's let him loose. Amen? Amen. And when God is loose in the house, things start to happen. Amen? When God is loose in the house, the children are singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they're trying to shut them up. And Jesus said, let them sing. Hallelujah. When Jesus is in the house, people are tearing a hole in the roof because he's the healer and they're trying to get to him. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music and giving thanks to everything to God. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back. Giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And whatever that means, I'm good with it. I said, whatever that means, I'm good with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God will never do anything that's out of order. God will never do anything that's out of order. If it's the Lord, it's the order. Hallelujah. I want us to stand together. And while our team is singing this song, if you're ready for God to fill you up, you come to this pump. You pull your car up to this pump and say, God, fill me up. Fill her up. Fill it up. Fill it up. You know where your gas gauge or your spirit gauge is this morning. You know. And if it ain't full, you need to be getting filled up.